Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. We have been looking at, in our great study, the great doctrines of the Bible, what the Scriptures say about demons. We've already looked at what the Scriptures say about their fallen angelic master, Satan. And now we are looking at the armies of Satan, who are the fallen spirits, the demons. They were originally one-third of the angelic host in heaven who followed Satan in his rebellion against God. And we've been looking at the occult activity of demons. Satan and the demonic forces have created a whole world called the occult, selling people on the idea that, hey, you can tap into the spiritual realm, the realm beyond the visible, and to acquire unearthly supernatural powers. And of course, it bypasses submitting to the Creator, following His law, believing in Him, and receiving His Spirit, which makes us subordinate to Him. But the occult will tell you, you can become your own God through the use of the secret spiritual powers. It's a lie from the pit. And we have looked at different types of the occult, whereby Satan and primarily his demons advance their deceitful and destructive agenda on man. We've looked at, we define what the occult is. We've talked about types of the occult. And we were talking about the necromancer, one who seeks to communicate with the dead. There is a show on. I don't know if it's still on TV. I don't watch much TV today. It's just quite awful. Called Crossing Over. And I forgot the guy's name, but he claimed that he could communicate with your dead friends and relatives. And so he would call out a person in the audience and then proceed to tell that person about his life and the relative that he lost or the friend that he lost. And invariably, the person is amazed and starts crying and is moved and believes that he or she actually has contact with the dead through this this guy on Crossing Over, this psychic, this channeler. And that is the modern day necromancer, and one who seeks to consult and communicate with the dead and communicate for the dead among the living. Again, this is condemned in Scripture because the source of this is nefarious and evil. It's Satan. And these people are not really contacting the dead, okay? The Bible uses a term called familiar spirits, and they are demon spirits who mimic the deceased. And they do so to deceive people into thinking, hey, there's real power here. There's legitimacy in me going to a seance and me going to a channeler or a psychic, and they can communicate with my dead mother. This is in clear violation of God, and this is in clear violation of the reality about the afterlife that Jesus reveals to us quite stunningly in Luke 16:19-31. I think if more Christians would read that chapter, they wouldn't believe errors like soul sleep or necromancy or the legitimacy of so-called familiar spirits, because there Jesus removes the veil from the afterlife and tells us what happens after we die. And depending upon whether you believe Jesus Christ for salvation, that will determine where your disembodied soul after death will spend until the judgment, and then you will be permanently consigned to one place or another, i.e. heaven or hell. But in Luke 16, Jesus clearly tells us that there is an impassable gulf between the living and the dead that no man can cross. There's also an impassable gulf between heaven, where the righteous believer goes, and hell, where the unsaved person goes to wait for judgment. So that comes from the mouth of the Son of God. And if you still want to hold to praying for the dead, trying to communicate with the dead, and you still want to hold to this idea that when you die, you just remain asleep, your soul remains with your body in the grave, You do so in the face of what Jesus clearly reveals, which refutes those two beliefs and actions. It's just as simple as that. You either line up with what God says and cease in your believing in these false doctrines based on the occult, or you continue on in your ignorance. All right, moving on. And to your damnation, I would add. Astrology, oh boy, astrology has been popular for, well, since its beginnings in ancient Chaldea and made most popular in ancient Babylon. What is astrology? How do demons use this? Well, it's, again, a spiritualist religion. In other words, the course of the stars, the alignment of the stars, so claims astrology, will determine your life and should determine your decisions. Astrologers believe the stars in the heavens have the power to cause or influence events to happen. Astrologers say the stars don't only forecast our future, but they also guide us to the coming of a new spiritual master. Astrology was developed in the Mesopotamian region about 4,000 years ago. Some say 3. I think it's older than that. And the ziggurats that you see throughout Iraq and where ancient Babylon was located and ancient Egypt were temples built for worship of the moon, stars, and planets. Modern astrology is based on this centuries-old understanding of astronomy. A wrong understanding, I should add. By the way, astrology is unscientific because it is based upon a disproven theory that the sun revolves around the earth. This would be the Ptolemaic view of geocentric view of the universe. That is that everything revolves or orbits around the earth. Well, thanks to Galileo and his stunning discoveries in astronomy, the exact opposite is true. We live in a heliocentric universe. The earth orbits around the sun. And so astrology is totally unscientific from the outset. And yet, you go to a supermarket today or a bookstore, and there is a whole section on astrology. All the zodiac signs, the 12 signs of the zodiac, they actually have books every year. You know, if you're a Pisces or you're a Cancer, they will have a book for that year, for each day, and what you're supposed to do because the stars have the power to influence your life. My friend, this is from the pit of hell. Again, it's worshiping the creation instead of the creator. You're turning your life over to an inanimate body, orbital body, the stars, and claiming that that inanimate object has the power to divine your future and determine your course of life and how you should live and conduct yourself. It's a lie. Again, it takes people off the true source of life, the true source of knowing the future, the true source of telling us how to live properly. And that would be God Himself. Astrology is from the pit of hell. And yet I know Christians who flirt with this stuff. They think it's cute. And they are dabbling in the occult. Unfortunately, one of our great presidents, Ronald Reagan, his wife was steeped in the occult concerning astrology. She actually would hire expensive astrologers to cast a chart. I believe that's the term they use. And she went into the Oval Office one time. I actually read this. This is documented. And was trying to tell the president how to conduct his day based upon the alignment of the stars. And he told her, look, I don't believe in this nonsense. I don't believe in this nonsense. And he didn't because he was a Bible-believing Christian. So, Scripture condemns astrology through and through. Isaiah 47, God mockingly tells the astrologers, go ahead, look at the stars and predict the future because you won't be able to accurately predict it 100% of the time like I can and I have. Isaiah 47:13 says this. You are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from what shall come upon you. So here the prophecy is against Babylon, which at that time was the world capital of witchcraft and all manner of occult activity, astrology being chief among them. And God is saying, all right, go now to your astrologers, let them cast your future to see if you will be delivered from the judgment I have planned for you. And of course, they couldn't avert God's judgment on them for their mistreatment and abuse of his people Israel. So the same thing could be said now. These astrologers can write their books, print their magazines, and sell them in the supermarket. They will not in any way change or affect what God has decreed for mankind and what he has ordained to occur in history. Because the universe is not run by, itself, nor does it run on its own. But it has a transcendent personal creator who arranges everything on a major scale and minor scale, in a big way and small way, so that not even one single solitary molecule is awry or astray. It's all under his controlled hand. That's why astrology is nonsense. It's foolishness. And yet the demon forces use this kind of nonsense to make fools out of fallen man. To think that a star somewhere, you know, billions and billions of light years away can affect your life on Earth, and how to decide, you know, what you're going to do the next day is absurd. Next, we have the soothsayers. The soothsayers. These are people, again, psychics, charmers, fortune tellers, soothsayers. These are people who claim they can predict the future. And now, they're not wrong all the time. In order to ensnare a person into the occult, like the psychic phenomena, they have to be right some of the time to give them the sense of legitimacy and validity. Soothsaying, again, is a counterfeit to biblical prophecy. But anyway, soothsaying is also condemned in Isaiah 2:6 and Daniel 2:27. This is when one is a soothsayer, he is one who foretells future events by whatever material means at his disposal. There was, I might mention it here later, there is runes, which is, I believe, a Nordic witchcraft custom where there are... symbols on these small sticks. You throw them together, and then however they fall, you read the symbols, and that's supposed to tell you what's going to happen. That is a form of soothsaying, and it is of the occult. Next, we have the sorcerer. The sorcerer. That is condemned all throughout the Word of God, the practice of sorcery, another major offshoot of the occult, sorcery. What is sorcery? Sorcery is basically the use of magic, witchcraft, with the aid of drugs, hallucinogenic drugs, drugs that produce a narcotic or intoxicating effect. Yes. So much of our drug culture is, all of it is witchcraft. Now, I'm not talking about medicinal drugs, drugs to cure illnesses or alleviate pain from an affliction. Now, that's, you're not using that to purposely alter your state of consciousness, to try to tap into the hidden world. As a former drug user, abuser, I should say, I took many types of hallucinogenics back 30 plus years ago. God delivered me and saved me in 1984, and I never went back into that bondage. But that is a form of sorcery. Drug taking is a form of sorcery. The snorting of coke, smoking weed, and now they're passing it off as marijuana as of medicinal value. It's still a hallucinogenic, and engaging in it is a form of sorcery. and the other drugs, these can all be classified under the practice of sorcery. And when you start using drugs of a narcotic or hallucinatory nature, you are opening yourself up to the hidden realm of the demonic. Many don't know that. They think, oh, wow, man, I've tapped into transcendental consciousness here. I've tapped into the spiritual, invisible realm of reality where there can be power. And not realizing that they are being escorted into the demonic realm and opening their souls up and their minds up to demonic influence, ultimately leading to possession, quite frankly. In the New Testament, it's interesting. The word sorcery there is pharmakous or pharmakia. And guess what word we get from that? The word pharmacy. A pharmacy is a place where drugs are sold and stored. So we see here that the New Testament joins sorcery with drug taking. Drug taking then is one who uses drugs, makes drugs for the purpose of occult activity. And when a person, now someone will say, well, wait a minute, I smoke marijuana occasionally, but I'm not worshiping the devil. I'm not in witchcraft. Come on. Well, yes, you are. Indirectly and unwittingly, you're doing that very thing. You're using a substance that opens your mind up and puts you in contact with the spiritual realm of the demonic. So, yeah, you are. And it's funny, if you look at ancient cultures that were given over to drug taking, I'll take, for instance, the Incas. The Incas, the ancient Indians of South America, they were coke users. And yet they were heavily involved in witchcraft, magic, and the occult. They were, the zenith part of their religious worship was human sacrifice, where they cut out the heart of a living person. And they were doing this high on cocaine. So don't tell me that drug taking is divorced from the occult. The both go hand in hand, and our culture is saturated with drugs. And there is abuse of psychiatric drugs too. People who don't want to deal with depression or who are unhappy go to a psychiatrist and get drugs to escape that feeling. Now, I'm not saying that there are not legitimate uses at times for this, but there's obviously been an abuse of psychiatric drugs where it's becoming close to witchcraft, using it to escape reality, to try to tap into this invisible plane of peace and contentment. My friend, that if you're doing it for that reason, you are involved in sorcery and witchcraft. So all those, and the scripture tells us, the drunkard, those who are engaged in sorcery will not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Revelation 9, 21, 18, 23, 22, 15, 21, 8. The last two, in Revelation 21, 8, 22, 15, tells us that those who are engaged in sorcery, drug taking, drug making for the use of hallucinating and tapping into the to a greater world, a greater mindset, these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will be cast into the lake of fire. So if you are a believer struggling with drugs, you need to get delivered because you are treading on thin ice, my friend. Christians should not be taking any substance or drug that creates a narcotic or hallucinatory intoxicating effect, because that is part of the art and practice of sorcery and witchcraft. I can't say that enough. Moving on. Let's now look at all the different practices of the occult that I just gave you are mentioned and condemned in Scripture. What are their modern counterparts? Demons are using these ancient occult magic and witchcraft arts today, but they're called by different names to try to give them a semblance of respectability. And the point here is to expose these demons for what they are doing today through the ancient practice and evil art of witchcraft. And trust me, when you start exposing the powers of darkness and their plan under Satan, like I'm doing, you're going to be attacked. So I expect to be opposed and attacked here because I'm exposing what demons do. Their primary attack on man is through the occult, by the way. Again, what do we mean by the word occult? Well, it is a word meaning that denotes something that is hidden, to hide or conceal something. Isaiah 2:6, ancient Israel was invaded, taken over by the Eastern practices of the occult, just like the West is being today, America. Here, Isaiah 2:6, God says to Israel, "For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with Eastern ways." Wow. So the caravans from the East were influencing Israel with occult superstitions and practices. This is exactly what's going on in the West today, particularly in America. The invasion of the East occurred in the mid-60s and really hasn't stopped. The embracing of Eastern mystic religions mingled with the taking of drugs, it was a major movement in the late 60s with the hippies. But what are some of the modern day occult practices going on? Well, there is, and we'll kind of, and again, I'm indebted to Kevin J. Connor in his wonderful book, The Foundations of Christian Doctrine, for this list. Some of these, I won't mention all of them because some of them are so specialized and esoteric, but the more popular ones we're going to talk about here. First of all, astral projection. What is astral projection? Well, this is the phenomena where a person, while he's alive here now, leaves his body. He leaves his body and travels, goes to other places. It is a partial or complete separation of soul and soul travel. Why is this dangerous? Well, though one cannot scientifically measure this phenomenon because it goes beyond the physical realm, the measurable realm, there are people who swear it occurs. Many examples. Usually people who take LSD experience astral projection. They leave their body and they go to other places. And they come back and their personality has been altered. Why is that dangerous? Well, again, what do demons seek to primarily do to carry out their will? They must inhabit bodies. So if they can create or allow for astral projection, the soul of that person leaves his body and then it can be entered by a demonic spirit, creating this whole aura of astral projection, and eventually that person becomes demon possessed. It is dangerous. Astral projection. So if you hear anything about that, it really is a vehicle for demon possession. Convincing that person, hey, I can travel out of my body and become one with the universe. It's predicated on a monistic or a pantheistic view of the universe. All is one, one is all. That kind of nonsense. And yet behind that is the insidious power of demonic possession. Then we have augury. This is not really popular much today, but augury was practiced by the ancient Egyptians, the Greeks, and the Romans. And basically, it's based upon the flight formation of birds. Also, the reading of goat entrails. Yes, you heard me right. This was practiced among the Romans and the Greeks and the Egyptians. It's not really popular today as far as I know. Then we have the whole idea of apparitions, ghosts. You know, there have been shows about ghosts, seeking out ghosts, ghost hunters and all this stuff. And these people, if you believe some of the episodes, they actually see ghosts and stuff start moving around, or objects being thrown in the air. and no one is throwing them. Again, these are demons, familiar spirits. As an aside, Halloween is not a holiday Christians should celebrate because it's steeped in the occult. Its roots are in the occult. It came from the Druids, who were practicing witch and witches. They were into augury. They were into human sacrifice. And Halloween, it used to be called the Feast of Samhain. It has nothing to do with God, Christ, or the Bible. It promotes the occult. It promotes evil, the aspect of evil, fear, and all that. And I did a teaching years ago, 7 Reasons Why Christians Should Not Celebrate Halloween, because it promotes aspects of the occult. Christians should have no business doing that. Now, does that mean that when kids come to our door, we shoo them away telling them this? No. Get gospel tracts that use Halloween, show it for what it is, and then present the gospel to these kids so they can have an opportunity to get saved. Use Halloween as a springboard for the gospel by exposing the occult roots of Halloween and showing them there is a way out through Jesus Christ. Anyway, we won't go down that road. But Halloween is an occult holiday. Its origins are in the occult, and Christians should not be celebrating it. It's just as simple as that. An amulet. These are objects that have magical powers. An amulet. Wearing a crystal. These magnets that people wear. I think that's an amulet. In the Christian world, unfortunately, we have the same thing. The Catholics with their scapulas. The scapula was something that supposedly the spirit of the Virgin Mary promised to those she appeared to, that if they wear the scapula and they die, they won't go to purgatory. They'll go to heaven. The wearing of medals to ward off accidents and so forth. The Saint Christopher medal. Those are amulets, folks. Nowhere in Scripture are we told to put our trust in these objects. And if Jesus or Mary's telling you to do that, that ain't the biblical Jesus. And Mary ain't going to appear to you because, again, Jesus said once you die, you don't come back here. That's a familiar spirit speaking, imitating the deceased form of Mary, and should be rejected on biblical grounds. Our trust is in the Lord Himself, not in an object or a necklace or a piece of jewelry that we wear that we believe has some magical power. Now, astrology. We've already talked about astrology. We talked about astrology, and it's virtually remained the same thing throughout time. But again, it's fortune-telling based upon supposed influences of the orbital position of the stars, the sun and moon to a lesser extent, and planets. Then we have automatic handwriting. Words written without awareness or conscious effort. Words that are spontaneously written on a page. The popular tome, New Age spiritual tome, Course in Miracles, was allegedly written by automatic handwriting. Again, what is going on there? Well, the demonic spirit takes over the person's cognitive faculties and writes what he is wanting people to believe from the spiritual realm. And of course, 100% of the time, when something is given by automatic handwriting, it clearly contradicts the Bible and the God of the Judeo-Christian faith. Then we have more darker forms of the occult. Black mass, celebrated in the circles of Satanism. It's a perversion of the Roman Catholic mass. I believe they say the mass in black mass backwards. The Roman Catholic mass backwards in the Latin language. I'm not sure about that, but it is a counterfeiting and of the Roman Catholic Mass. There are many, many forms of the occult. We'll continue with this next time. Some of this stuff is actually being practiced and advocated in Christendom at large. Pretty disturbing. Well, we'll continue to expose the demons and their work in the occult next time we are with you. Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.